This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Slack. Slack is a messaging app which brings together all your team's communication into one place, making work simpler and more productive. Go to slack.com to learn more. Harry's. Stop messing around and get started shaving with Harry's today by claiming your free trial offer. $13 value for free, just covered to shipping by going to harrys.com/whatthetech. Text Expander helps you communicate smarter. Visit textexpander.com/podcast for 20% off your first year. Everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by the returning Paul Theroad. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
You're back.
How are you?
And better than ever.
Yep. I'm back.
Life has gotten very complicated for both of us. You know, you've been traveling and you've been busy with work, and I've been very busy with work. And it seems like every time I attempt to do a show from my office, it's like a catastrophe happening at 1 o'clock. So. It's becoming impossible to do it like that, but, you know, we're attempting. We're trying to get everything back in order here. Last week, I think you had, like, a problem at your house last week, too. Something happened the week before something happened.
Yeah, we had a sewer. That was a couple weeks ago, but, yeah. A sewer disaster. That was a lot of fun.
I actually did the show on Saturday with John Prosser from Front Page Tech. I had a lot of fun.
How dare he
wants to be a permanent third replacement. So it's no longer like the Andrew and Paul show. If one of us can't do it, he wants to be the guy that subs in.
Let me tell you something. That guy can go. No, that's fine.
I did say that to him. I did his podcast. He does a show called Recycling Bin, 9 o'clock at night.
And it's I know him. Have I met him in person?
I don't think you've met him, but he's a good kid. He's a good guy. Yeah. I like him. I support what he does with Front Page Tech. But I did his show and I apparently went nuts because I was drinking a little bit. And I lost my mind about the notch in all the Android phones, how they're all putting a notch in, and how I have no idea how this could happen, which I'll kind of, well, I want to touch on that a little bit on it with you, because I feel like we haven't spent enough time on this stupid thing.
Making fun of the notch.
making fun, not necessarily making fun of it, but I mean.
Well, I think we're going to have to get used to it. I think we're going to have to enter whatever phase that is of grief management, man. You know.
It's bonkers, and that's the part that I really want to concentrate on because, you know, it's one thing to copy Apple when they have a great idea. It's another thing just to copy them because they're doing it, and it wasn't even something that they wanted to do. And that's the amazing part here. It was not by design they ended up doing this. They had to do it because they couldn't figure out how to do what the first thing was that they wanted to do. I want to talk about that, but before we do, I want to take a moment and talk about our great sponsor, and that's Text Expander. So I had a little mishap. I left my computer at home. I have no idea how I forgot that when I was going to work the other day, but I had this. I have my 2015 MacBook Pro there. It's like a backup just in case, and I really haven't used it because between the HP I have upstairs and I have this, you know, I'm really using it. So I left and I'm like, it'll be easy. Everything already syncs with iCloud and whatever. But I didn't have Text Expander on there. So what Text Expander does, it creates snippets out of the things that you repeatedly type every single day, like directions, mailing addresses, meeting agendas, website URLs. You know, if you meet somebody and you put in their contact information, you just put their name in and, you know, the first two letters or whatever hotkey you create, and it just fills in the blanks. Like, I send out the same tweet constantly. I just do like WTTT and that's What the Tech tweet, and it'll just fill in the whole thing for me rather than me typing it out. It's a great little tool that I've been using, and I didn't have it on my MacBook, and it was like typing with one hand behind my back. It was actually terrible. It was a terrible experience. You guys could try it out. I highly, highly recommend you try it out by going to textexpander.com/podcast for 20% off your first year. Also, Smile, the company that is behind Text Expander, they're celebrating 15 years. It's their 15th birthday, and they have a very interesting blog and a series of their history during the week of June 11th. If you go to smilesoftware.com/blog, you can go and check it out there. But I absolutely love these guys, and it's a great product, and I highly recommend you check it out. Where do you want to start, Paul? Do you want to start talking about this notch? Because it really affected me this week. I don't know where to begin with this. Are you good going into this?
Sure.
Okay. So on the show that I was on, you know, we were talking about Apple and their products and the current lineup and the evolution of cell phones and how they're changing. And one of the questions was, and I'm going to present this to you. If you could have one phone like that you design, right? Software and hardware. If you could combine whatever, what would it be? If you could have a combination of the software and hardware that you want from two different phones or three different phones, what phone would you combine?
That's an interesting question because I think a lot of people are probably expecting some kind of weird combination of an iPhone with, you know, something else. But honestly, over the past several months, you know, using Android instead of iOS, I kind of went from that thing where I kind of missed iOS a lot to now I'm like, you know, like I don't really care anymore.
Yeah.
And the things I would combine would be two Android devices. Well, yeah, it would be the components of two different Android devices, right? So the phone itself, the basic form factor would be the Samsung Galaxy S9 Plus. It's amazing. It's just the most beautiful thing in the world. And yeah, it's funny because on paper, that device and the Google Pixel 2 XL are similar, right? Similar size screens, you know, components, you know, whatever. But when you look at them side by side, there's something about the Samsung. The quality of the screen, the curve of the screen,
yeah,
the richness of the colors, the brightness, you know, whatever it is. Gorgeous. The only thing I want from the Pixel, component-wise, would be the camera, though, right? That's okay. The one thing I'd switch out. I would actually be happy. I think I'd be okay with the Galaxy S9 Plus camera, but I really do prefer the one in the Pixel. But there are two other things about the Pixel that I would want in the Samsung, right? One is the Project Fi compatibility. That's humongous, and so that's technically a component as well. And the second is the software, you know, the pure Android image, which includes something that I find literally a daily use thing, which is that, I guess it's the Google app feed that you get off of the left of the home screen, you know, when you swipe over there. It's not available on the Samsung, and there's nothing you can do to make it available that I'm aware of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's similar to yours, right? Like, this is my favorite phone that I've had. As far as design goes, I think it feels great in my hands. The Samsung Galaxy S9 Plus, it just feels good. But I really, you know what would make this great? The iPhone camera and iOS. I mean, that would be it for me. I've kind of fallen out of love with Android over the last couple of months. Surprisingly more so when I went back to Android, I started falling out of love with it. And obviously, there are things that you could do to make it customize it. And that's the thing about Android, right? You could customize everything. But I'm looking at this as the common person that's purchasing this. They're not customizing the phone. They're using it as is. And as an as-is phone, iOS is still an easier interface for day-to-day usage. Listen, you could disagree with me all you want as far as, you know, what works for you and what works for me. For me, this is what's happened. iOS is a quicker thing for me to do. Quicker operating system for me to use rather than Android, but I would honestly take the camera from the iPhone 10 and put it on this, and I would take iOS and put it on this phone, and I would have a phenomenal phone. That would be my goal.
What I would really legitimately miss in iOS if I was using an iPhone is the ability to get into apps. Into content stores from non-Apple apps, right? Yeah. It's some Tuesday, some new Audible book has come out from that store. I want to download it to my phone. I cannot do it from the Audible app on iOS like you can on Android. It's goofy. The Kindle app store, same issue. The Google Play store, which I don't actually use, but if I did, you know, same thing. It's one of those things. I think as an Apple user, you just kind of, you forget that this is a weird thing, but it is a weird thing.
That's probably what's happened. I highly think that that's probably what's happened, that I've forgotten these things are common issues.
Well, yeah, no, I look, it is a grass is always greener kind of effect. No doubt about it. And if you had switched to iOS however many months ago, we might be having the opposite conversation. I'm guessing the reason we're talking about this now is that the one thing that would drive you crazy about an iPhone 10, which is the one you would want, is the notch.
Is the notch, yeah. So this was a discussion. So it led into this discussion where I don't know why my dog is losing his mind. If my intern is here,
dude, if that's that barking sound is nothing. You embrace that.
Do you hear
happy?
It?
Yeah, barely.
I know, but I'm gonna get the emails telling me you're so unprofessional. You should have put your dog outside and shipped them away while you were doing the show. I guarantee I'm gonna get that message. So,
well, you are kind of a jerk like that.
Yeah, you're such a jerk.
Jerk, dog owning jerk. Okay.
So the discussion led into the notch. I actually started defending it in a way, and then I realized what I'm doing. I was like, what is wrong with me? And I was like, yeah, you know what? The problem is, like, I've spoken to people with the notch, and they all tell me that they got used to it, that they all got used to the notch, and they don't even notice it. Then the other side of the argument is, Andrew, you're looking at it all wrong. Because of the notch, you got extra screen real estate on the top. Don't look at the notches taking away from the screen. Look at the notches adding those little corners on the screen. You would have a much smaller screen if you had the notch.
Let's scratch the record there for a second. Because this the one thing I want to say to that, I don't mean to suggest that's obvious, but that it's true, I guess, in the same size phone. The thing is, I think this is a lot like computers where you get rid of the bezels and now the camera has to be in the wrong place in the bottom of the screen or some whatever nonsense. Like, as on a computer for sure, and on a phone maybe. I kind of the size helps, you know. Yeah. I'm reviewing it's an excellent laptop, but it's a 14-inch screen. It's in a 13-inch body. It feels even smaller than that, and I find it a little crunched.
It's
a Huawei MateBook 10 Pro.
Oh, the new one. Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. It's a great laptop, but it's almost too small, you know. And I, for whatever it's worth, you know, the big screen devices like the Samsung that you're using and I'm using that don't have a notch. I think there's something nice about, I like that form factor. Like I actually prefer it. So you're telling me like we could shave maybe a quarter of an inch off the top and maybe a little bit less than that in the bottom or something. And that this would somehow be better because now there's more screen per, you know, it's like as a ratio of the front of the device. And I'm telling you, like, I don't feel like that matters very much to me. And on an iPhone, there's all kinds of bezel all over that thing.
There is a lot of bezel everywhere.
It's got a big silver bezel all the way around it. It's not all screen.
So, you know, I could understand some of the arguments, but what I do not understand is the path that many OEMs on the Android side have followed. And they haven't followed due to design issues like Apple faced. You know, Apple faced a tremendous design issue, and that's why they implemented this thing. It was secondary. They wanted to incorporate Touch ID in the actual device, and they couldn't.
Apple, right. Well, there's that aspect of it, and then there's also, of course, the sensors at the top. Like there's this theory that the notch will get smaller over time, and then eventually those sensors will be like little cutouts in the glass, right? So you know there'll be even more screen, and then eventually the sensor will just be below the screen, like the initial plan Apple apparently had for the iPhone 10, but. All Android makers are going to deal with those same issues. The difference between Android,
why are they incorporating the notch due to face recognition?
For the same reasons. Not for the fingerprint reader. That's on the back, right?
Yeah.
I think we all agree that works really well. I know there, you know, people have whatever issues, but it is. I prefer it there. I've always preferred it there. I prefer it there to the front reader on the iPhone, you know, 7, 8, whatever. I like having it. You know, are these phones have lousy facial recognition systems that work really quickly and probably insecurely? So if you want that kind of thing, you can have that nonsense on your Android phone too.
Yeah, I have it on mine, and it sucks. I hate it. It's
terrible. So according to Google, who is adding formal support for these notches, there's a term they use for them. I can't remember what they call it. But the reason they're doing it is because all of their hardware partners have come to them and said, we need to do this. This is a differentiator, not a differentiator. It's almost like it's table stakes. You know, Apple doesn't usually, well, that's not fair, but Apple doesn't always innovate when it comes to, you know, whatever, software, hardware, services, whatever it might be. In this case, they weren't the first per se, but they have formalized the use of this technology. Apple, by adopting this, has made it okay for everyone else to do it. Apple by adopting this has made it an imperative for other smartphone vendors to do this. Now, I think only Samsung has the market power to resist this, and we'll see if they do. But are you going to be surprised next year when the Samsung Galaxy S9 or S10 rather comes out and it has a notch, you know, and they'll make the same,
you know, explanation? LG has it now on their next major flagship. LG has it. I think Huawei has it. And who are the other ones that put it in? I saw another one. I just saw it right now, and I couldn't believe that everybody's following. But what is the reason to put the notch in? You know, what's the excuse? It's for the sensors. Okay. So right now, Samsung has similar sensors in the front because they have face recognition, right, on this one. They don't have a notch. Yeah.
No, so, they have a small bar at the top. I think that's the right approach. That's my opinion that. Is that's the correct approach.
Yes. I would rather have
but
that.
But here's... Okay. So the argument, though, that I've read, and this is not something Apple has ever expressed, because they can never say the thing we're releasing right now is not ideal, but follow the progression because obviously they're aiming at some future, right? That future is there is no notch. The sensors are just built into the glass or right below the glass, however you want to say it. But there's some, maybe you could see them when you turn the phone to a certain angle. But by and large, what you're going to see is a rounded rectangle that's all screen in the front, right? Sound will have to come through there, you know, for the speakers, which will still have to be in stereo. The sense, you know, the IR sensor, the camera, whatever, I don't know what's in there, whatever it is, the earpiece, whatever. It's all going to have to be in there. And so they don't have the technology to do that right now. They want to get there. The notch is a way to get there because they can miniaturize, and then eventually... it'll be gone.
It's gone. Yeah. I find it fascinating that the reason, you know, if Apple didn't put this notch in, nobody else would have followed. It would not have existed. I don't think other companies were looking into this as being the future of it. It was probably by they had to do it. And it was just to buy them time if they were even, you know, thinking about this. And the fact that this is now a trend is fascinating to me. And I give the great example, you know, 2011 was a great year for Apple. And, you know, you look at the MacBook Air. That is something when it came out, it was a, oh, crap, we got to get our act together when it came to the PC manufacturers. This was lighter. It looked better. It was thinner. It was everything that you want from a laptop to put in your bag and take off and run away. It was perfect. And everybody followed. After a while, you know, and then it took them a couple of years to get their act together. But the PC market is a totally different market than it was, you know, 7-8 years ago. Almost every single PC manufacturer is making a flagship device that could pass as a flagship device. They're not plasticky. Obviously, you can still purchase those laptops, but they're not plasticky. You know, HP's putting out great stuff. Lenovo's putting out great stuff. The list goes on and on. I mean, you're using a great, Huawei laptop right now. You're testing it out. And that's
so I tried to jump into this conversation like 10 minutes ago. I don't know
go ahead.
If Suncast is muting me or something, but just to go back to what you originally said, which I don't think is true.
I think it's the new thing that we're using. I think what it's doing, it's doing ducking.
Okay. Anyway, Android phone makers were making notches before Apple came out with this, right? Essentials had a notch.
Essentials had a
Essential.
Notch.
I don't think they were the only one. I really do think, you know, Apple does things in a very unique way for sure. And I think, and I disagree with this. Other people think it's fantastic. I get it. But their decision / something that was, kind of enforced on them was we're not going to have a fingerprint reader. Right. So Android makers are not doing that. Right. They're keeping the fingerprint reader where it belongs on the back. It's what Apple should have done. Frankly, I think they should have that choice. But this thing where, you know, we're going to get rid of the bezel at the top and we're going to figure out how to make it small. I mean, this was always going to happen. It was always going to happen. And I think it's not just Apple. Apple has sped it up. I think I think Apple has formalized now that they've done it and they've taken all the heat for it. It's okay for the rest of the world to do this.
I guess so. But where does it
end? No, I mean,
do we do it on our laptops? Are we going to see it on the iPad? Are we going to see it on tablets?
Did you see the thing? Let me show you this. I mean, this is ludicrous. Like, this is something I completely disagree with. So you're familiar with the Dell XPS 13 and 15 or whatever, and how they have a camera on the bottom. So this computer, this is the Huawei. You won't be able to see it very well, at least the top of it, but you can see, well, you can sort of tell. There's a very, there's a very tiny bezel, right?
Yeah, thin, very thin.
No room at the top for a camera. And what they did was, this is so stupid. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen, is they have a special key on the keyboard. And when you push into it,
oh God,
it pops up. It pops a little out. Camera sitting down there. Look at that stupid thing.
So what do? You point it up?
Yeah, it's pointed up at your nose. So, you know, you push it down. It just looks like a key.
Oh, that's terrible. Flat.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So this thing has what I would describe as an amazing industrial design. It's beautiful. It's high quality. It's for a premium laptop. It's actually fairly inexpensive. Or at least reasonably priced. Maybe inexpensive isn't the right term, but that stupid little camera thing, that's ridiculous. So it's funny, you can't see this and I have no way to show you this, but I have a Logitech camera on top of my monitor, and my monitor actually has thin bezels as well. And you know, because you probably use one too, or you have used one, there's like a plastic tab that comes down from the bottom of it. And it's how the camera sits, you know, on your monitor. And then there's something in the back, you know, so it holds on in the back. That thing that comes down, because my screen has such a small bezel, actually looks like a notch because it's intruding maybe a quarter of an inch, not quite, into the screen. So if you look at my big, you know, display, there's actually like a little notch there from the camera. It kind of emulates, if you think about it, how these notches are. So would a notch be okay on a Windows computer, like a little notch in the top, so just so you could fit the camera there? Yeah. Right. I think it would be, actually. And in fact,
I'm looking at this right now, right? Like, I'll give an example. Like, I'm looking at my Mac, and I mean, I got this thick bezel. It's the size of, I guess the size of my finger, right? About this much, maybe a little bit smaller. You know, that's all wasted screen real estate. So if the screen could be bumped up a little bit, all you're getting on top is that stupid Mac bar, whatever they call, I don't even know what they call it now. What do they refer to that bar as? Where it says, you know, it's your Apple button, you know, and then everything else on the top. If they were to cut out like a little hole for your camera there right in the middle, I don't know if it would affect me. But on Windows, it might be a different story. I don't have anything here with a really thin bezeled window where I would say, okay, it would affect me or not. You know, all the Windows laptops that I have, the PC-based laptops that I have, they have a significant bezel, even the HP that I'm using. I don't know. Do you think it would affect you?
I don't know. You can't hear me. So we got to solve this problem.
We got to figure this out. Suncast, can you take a look at that?
All right. So here's just to recap what was going through my head. A notch, a small notch on a big screen, including on your laptop, would not be an issue. On the Mac especially, because it would work on the Mac like it does on iOS or Android, where you have a menu bar thing at the top. And there's nothing really in the middle anyway, usually. Sometimes it might be like a menu item. But the OS maker could account for that, right? They would know that the notch was there, so they would change the software to make it work. The stuff would flow around it. It would be fine. On Windows, it would almost never be a problem, with the one exception. They let people put the taskbar at the top of the screen, and then it might occlude a couple of your taskbar buttons, depending on, you know, the layout. You're and the size right. And all that stuff. So that'd be the one thing. But they could do this. They could make Windows smart about this. It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would have to be. Does anybody put the taskbar on top ever?
Just really brain damaged people, sociopaths, serial killers.
You know who does that? No,
I mean, some people do, right? I mean, obviously.
I really want to know anybody in our audience that actually does that.
Yeah.
You know, the only time I see it on the taskbar, when my daughter's playing with the laptop and she hits the taskbar, she always moves it to the right side for some odd reason every time. I don't know anybody that actually puts the taskbar on the top. Or on the side.
I've seen it. I think it looks unnatural. I don't like the taskbar. It's one of those things I kind of experiment with. And
I've seen it like 15 years ago with Vista. People would, you know, I've seen it then. I don't know. I'm curious.
It is. It's a major marker for, you know, sociological problems. Yeah, for sure.
I don't trust people that put their taskbar on the top of the screen. That's how I that's how I determine if I'm going to do business.
Like something my father would say, you know, I don't trust people who put anything in their coffee.
Guys, I want to continue this discussion, but first I want to thank our great sponsor, and that's Harry's. I've been using Harry's for 2-3 years now. That's my razor of choice. And I'll tell you how this happened to me. You know, they were obviously an advertiser, but prior to them becoming an advertiser, I would use these cheapo disposable razors all the time. I'd buy like a pack of them because they were like really thin, and I would get like, you know, longevity out of them because I got a beard. I don't shave that often. And all of a sudden one day these things got so cheap, and they stopped, like after two shaves, they were done. So same time I started using Harry's, and these things last forever. It's a great shave that you're getting, and they have a phenomenal deal. They got a trial set here. You can sign up for the trial set. When you sign up to Harry's, you get your free trial set. It includes your razor handle, the 5-blade cartridge, the shave gel. All you got to do is go to harrys.com/whatthetech. Just cover the shipping charge, and you're good to go. These also make great gifts. You know, Father's Day is around the corner, and I always order like a stack of them, and I give them to, you know, people that I haven't given to them in the past for Father's Day. I'm going to give one to my bartender, actually, Paul. Give one to my bartender. Nice. He just had a kid, so he's getting one for Father's Day. My dad gets one every year because I'm totally exhausting this Harry's razor thing with him. And you could too. Go to harrys.com/whatthetech. Go check out their entire lineup. They also have shaving gels, and they got all their accessories. It's phenomenal. I absolutely love them. And the quality is unbelievable. The blade, by the way, it's a 5-blade razor. And you may say, wow, maybe my skin's a little too sensitive for that. I'm one of these people. I don't like those 5-blade, 10-blades, 3-blade razors. And these things are great. I've never had an issue with them. harrys.com/whatthetech. I'm going to send you one, Paul. I'm going to send you another one.
What are you trying to say?
Yeah. Apple's WWDC is coming up, since we're on the topic of notches. Mm-hmm. And
right.
They are taking a similar approach to previous years, and it's going to be small updates this year.
Well, that's what we hear, right?
That's what we're hearing.
I wonder about that, you know?
You think this is a
swerve? Are they going to... Well, they never came out and said this publicly, right? This is all based on... It's probably like Mark Gurman or whatever his name is, reports or something. I mean, I think it's what they should do. It seems like what they will do. But you know Apple. Like, Apple can't... Apple's not going to come out and be like, oh, we're going to slow down, you know? Like, they're going to come out, and they're still going to promote it like a major thing. You know, everything they do is major. So, you know, I guess we'll see. Like, I'm as far as like a system software thing goes, iOS, macOS, tvOS, watchOS, you know, whatever they have now. Obviously, we're looking, you know, to see what they announce for that stuff. It will be interesting no matter what. But, you know, just today they released iOS 11.4. They're forging ahead, you know, they're kind of cranking out the little iterative updates. I mean, iOS 12 is going to have some stuff in it, right? There's still going to be new features, obviously.
So 11.4 has support for messages in iCloud, which I would like to test out. I want to see how well that works. AirPlay 2. Yeah, yeah. Apple is releasing, this is actually literally the email I just got.
Apple's, you got an email about it.
Yeah, yeah. But,
AirPlay stuff, and I was like, well, what's the rest? There's got to be other stuff in here.
So messages in iCloud were first announced a year ago at WWDC 2017, just in time for 2018, as a way to keep conversations up to date across all your Apple devices, including iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, and Mac. Its introduction means that you'll now be able to access your entire messaging history when you set up your Apple device. And when you delete messages from one device, they sync to all your devices. This is actually... a very useful feature. Every time I blow away my laptop, guess what? The messages are all gone. And sometimes you need these messages. You know, you'd like to retrieve them. In addition to the benefits of being able to access the entire conversation history, messages in iCloud will also especially help those who tend to save all their conversations. I save every conversation with Paul for later use. Every conversation is saved.
Later blackmail.
Yeah, that's one thing. And then what was the other thing that I said? AirPlay 2?
AirPlay 2 stereo pairing, right? This is the thing that will let the HomePod finally act as a stereo speaker.
Well, thank God for that. $349 later.
$700 later because you need two of them.
Oh, you need two of them. Yeah, $700
later. Right, to do stereo.
You know, it took them quite a long time to get this done, huh?
It's almost June 1st.
Yeah.
They delayed this past the end of the year, didn't they? The product? Didn't they delay the HomePod?
The HomePod, yes. But how about the messages in iCloud?
You know what? Yeah, that one's actually kind of...
The what was it? It was Photos. You remember the big announcement with Photos? iPhotos is gone. It's a new Photos app, and they were talking about it with the release of their new OS. I forgot which version it was at this point. And then it never came. And then it came like months later. They're like, oh, here, by the way, it's a separate download. It's a separate application. That was the first sign that things aren't the same.
Remember they were going to make a white iPhone 3 or GS or whatever it was, 3G, 3GS, whatever.
And it never came?
Nope. I think they had to wait. I think they waited for the iPhone. Actually, that didn't have a white version either. I was going to say the iPhone 4.
I don't know.
Did they release a white iPhone 3GS?
I could have sworn that they did have a white 3GS.
Maybe they did.
Maybe they did.
White. Yeah, maybe they did.
I can't. You know what? At this point, it's so long ago. It's so long ago.
Yeah, it just was really late. Like, I think it was supposed to be the iPhone 3G, and it finally came in the S or something like that.
So here's my question to you, okay? At these announcements, they always have that one more thing, that big announcement. And I don't, you know, it's becoming less and less every year, right? Those anticipations for those big announcements with them. And I feel like this is a very, it's not just Apple, it's the PC market in general. It's a computer market in general because, you know, we are left disappointed from majority of these announcements. Even Google, like Google had their Google I.O. There was no big blockbuster announcement at Google I.O. this year. I mean, obviously something that's not, it's not coming for many, many years. To the point that they showed it off, you know, we're about a year or two away from Assistant. But as far as, you know, hardware releases and daily consumer devices, we're getting less of these. And I think we're in this stagnant stage of computing where we've gotten everything for this decade. Now we're just evolving everything. You know, there's no surprise.
Well, I mean, I think the surprises are going to be in the Assistant stuff, right? I think when you look at a phone or a laptop or a tablet or a watch, even, you know, I mean, what are we talking about here? It's the thing you understand. It might be thinner, smaller, lighter, better battery, you know, whatever it might be. But it's essentially understandably that thing again. You know, the iPhone 10 that they shipped this year will, you know, it's prettier, bigger, nicer, whatever than the original iPhone. But you put them side by side and you're like, yeah, this is a part of a continuum for sure. I think the big bumps that we're going to see are more AI related, frankly. And I think that might be why Google did their announcement at I.O. about the assistant technology, the duplex technology, because it's so exciting. It's not obviously ready, but it's like this, you know, science fiction-y view of the future. It's really interesting.
Yeah. And also augmented reality and AR stuff. Are you excited at all about the AR stuff that we're starting to see now? I mean, I'm trying to figure out like day-to-day usage and how I know eventually people get used to things and they start incorporating in their everyday life. But, you know, is this going to be something that we start using regularly? I mean, we could do it with Google Maps soon. You know, that's something that's incorporated. But as far as augmented reality scenarios of our daily usage, you know, is there a major benefit to these things?
Yeah, there is. They might be in kind of particular use cases. Like it's not like you go into a museum and there's a dinosaur, its skeleton, you hold up your phone and it shows you what the thing looked like in real, you know, over the skeleton. You can see that's cool, but it's not like an essential daily thing. If you're a traveler, you know, the ability to go, especially to a non-Western language country, like an Asian country like Japan or China, hold up your phone and have it translate in real time, a sign so you can see what it says, is life changing, right?
Extremely.
That's the difference between you need a human guide with you 24/7 or I can do this thing by myself. Like it's incredible. Now that doesn't necessarily benefit every single person on earth every single day, but it's still big. It makes the world smaller. It's kind of a big deal. You can think about evolutions to that technology where you're walking around with those little earbuds in, and you look at a sign and you focus it on it for a second and it just tells you what it is in your ear.
Oh, that's,
you
know, another way, yeah.
And Google has a pair of earbuds that I don't think work, but they're supposed to do this for spoken language. So you have a conversation with another person and you hear both languages and it kind of does like the Babelfish translation thing. I mean, that stuff is, you know, I mean, having traveled, I haven't traveled to Asia, but having traveled to Europe and not understanding languages and not understanding signs, you can kind of grok some of it, but you run into these issues where you need human help, and you know, it could be awkward, especially if you don't speak the same language.
Yeah. I actually had a discussion on, so I forgot what day it was, during a week last week. I was going home and I stopped by, it's like a restaurant, it's called Bobby Van's, right by 50 something in Lex. I stopped by there because I know the GM. I was having a drink there, and the guy that happened to sit next to me, we were just talking about, you know, what do you do? I'm like, I do podcasts, I do marketing. He's like, oh, what kind of podcasts? I do a tech show. He goes, oh, really? I listen to a lot of podcasts. And I said, do you know Paul Theroux? He goes, no, I don't know Paul Theroux, but let me look him up. And we started talking. He's like, oh, I think I do know him. I'm actually getting a call now. It's so funny.
Mm-hmm. It's from Paul Theroux.
It's from Paul Theroux in the future. Yeah. From Paul in the future. So we started having this conversation, and he is a software developer, and he's messing around. His thing that he's working on, I'm saying messing around like it's easy, is an AR technology where you could just hold your camera up and it tells you if your friends are in a location. So let's say you're walking down, you know, Bell Boulevard in Bayside, and you hold your phone up and it sees like the different venues. It'll tell you how many of your friends in your contact list, or friends, I guess, if you could sync it with Facebook or Twitter, are in that actual location. It'll actually pull them up, their profile up, and say they're in this location. And I'm thinking, I'm like, oof, you know, I kind of want to hide sometimes.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it would be permissions around that type of thing. But yeah,
I guess. According to him, it would just have to do with your permission.
Yeah. You could prevent people from seeing.
You could prevent, obviously. And then he's like, you know, he was telling me, he's like, oh, there's a couple bidders for this kind of software, and I'm talking to a couple people. But that is the next stage.
You know, Facebook does that now, sort of, right? Isn't that what the
near
me feature is, or whatever they call it? You know, you get a little alert, hey, one of your friends on Facebook is nearby. Because that can trigger an impromptu in-person meeting.
Yeah.
You can imagine things. I mean, heads up displays on cars that could be augmented, right? So you still see reality, but you could enhance parts of it. How about like an overlay that was on the entire screen? Like right now we're looking at little phone screens or maybe a little screen in the car. You know, what if there was an arrow pointing to the right saying, take this right on Main Street or whatever?
By the way, that's happening, right? We're seeing that right now. We're seeing that Volvo has that incorporated. Right? Audi has that incorporated, the heads up displays, but you know, you know, who was doing that years ago? Chevy was doing that with the Corvettes. They all had a heads up display. I mean,
utilize the windshield. Like you actually make the windshield the thing. Like it's, you know, it's right there. It's like a panoramic view of the world. You know, you want to do it in a way that doesn't block your vision, obviously. I mean, that's the trick.
I would imagine that is a far easier implementation than we think it is. For the car manufacturers,
I think the issue, is probably states certainly, and possibly the federal government have regulations against putting stuff on a window. Yeah. You can't obstruct the view, so
you can't even have stuff dangling from the rear view in some states.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just saw a car that had some weird paper things taped all over the back window, and my first thought was, I don't think that's legal. You know, that guy can't see out the back. Like he's, I don't believe you can do that. I mean, I got on the phone and called the police, obviously. I kind of thought that when I saw it, like that's doesn't seem like that should be legal. You know,
I mean, it is interesting. We are in a weird decade for technology where, and Paul, you've been covering this thing for like 60 years now, right?
It feels like it.
And I've been doing it for about 10 years now, and it's interesting how we've progressed to the point that now it's augmented reality, virtual reality, assistants, you know, essentially a computer talking to me and me not knowing. And on the dumbest level, we get that on a regular basis. If you answer a telemarketer call, that's on the dumbest level where it knows if you're saying certain things and it hangs up. You know, and I get that every now and then. Randomly, I'll get a phone call and it'll say like, oh, is Andrew there? And I'll say, no, it's not. It goes, okay, thanks. And it hangs up and I know it's a computer. It's not real.
You just mentioned the 60-year thing and it occurred to me that it's kind of funny the cyclical nature of this. Like back in the, you know, 20, 25 years ago when I first started doing this, I you know, one of the issues was like, you know, computers were the device. And so a computer is this thing that sits in a room, and they did have laptop type computers, but they were very expensive. They had horrible battery life and they were compromised in many ways, performance and so on. They weren't very good. And so the dream at the time was the ability to have a laptop and bring it with you to some place and work on a plane maybe, or in a different space. And of course that was realized over time. And then there was this thing like, well, I can lug this really heavy Dell C800, you know, 15-inch laptop or whatever I had at the time to a trade show. It's killing my shoulder carrying this thing around. I need to find out where my next meeting is. So I'd have to take the thing out of a bag, open it, boot it up, open the calendar app, wait for that to happen. Oh yeah, there it is, you know. And so it's like, man, if only I could have some kind of a device that would have this information on it that would be on instantly, and I could fit it in my pocket or whatever. And I went through all kinds of different things, you know, along those lines. And of course, eventually PDAs, and then eventually smartphones, of course. And when you bring all this stuff kind of full circle, here we are today. And what the discussion has changed to, because we can be productive or be entertained or whatever it is anywhere at any time. We've really turned the conversation into the opposite, which is, how do I turn all this stuff off? You know, the discussion today is, I don't want notifications. I don't want to be reached when I'm on vacation or on a day off. I don't want to be able to work from anywhere. You know, we should have seen this coming, right? Like, the ability to work from anywhere sounds so freeing until you can work from anywhere. And then you realize it's just another way to get you to work all the time, you know?
Yeah. I never felt the fatigue of having to work all the time like that, because for me, you know, it was always my business. And I would say, okay, I do the show with Paul on Tuesday. I'm done. I go out for happy hour. I come back. I work from bed till like 10 o'clock and then I go to sleep. But, you know, I worked on this erratic schedule, but it was my schedule. But now, you know, I'll get those emails at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night asking questions, and you kind of are expected to answer back. I can't shut off. You know, there's a law in New York. They want to pass this law which states that an employer cannot email an employee with, you know, things that they need once they're once they're done.
Yeah. Or like, that thing will be automatically delivered at 9 a.m. the next workday. Like, I routinely get work emails on Saturday nights and on Sundays. I personally, because of the way I am and the way I've worked for myself for so many years. I mean, I work 7 days a week. I don't work 7 days a week, like 9 to 5 necessarily, but you know, every Saturday morning and Sunday morning I work, I write, and it's an uninterrupted time for me to get work done. And when I get emails like that from work, for like just like huge list of things, you know, things to read, things to consider, things to think about, we need to get going on this stuff, blah, blah, blah. I resent it. You know, I resent it. Yeah. I'm already working 7 days a week. Like, what? Why are you interrupting me working with more work? You know, we should all resent that kind of thing. You know, we should all not want that. I don't push this on other people, you know. Yeah, me writing doesn't hurt anybody.
You know, I'm a small government Apple kind of guy, and I'm for marketplace kind of depicting the direction that we had for some things. I mean, for not everything, obviously, but I'm a normal human being, Paul. I don't go down a party line, let me tell you. well, right now the normal is picking a team, but yeah. I tend to always want to get stuff done, you know, and my working in my head, it's kind of erratic and it's all over the place. But I piece things together randomly at certain times and it's my way. But, you know, that kind of doesn't work in the corporate environment, and you got to kind of follow a structure. But also that structure is when are you done? When are you done with work? I'm never off. I don't like being off, but, you know, for other people, like, I don't have a boss that's that demanding with stuff getting done. They know, okay, you're done now. But I know people that they get emails up until like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I know you won't, but you know what? If you're 30 years old and you're making a little too much money compared to your counterparts and you have a very demanding boss, there is a good chance that you're responding to those emails. So what happens then? is that expected from your job? Maybe it's a requirement that, they're going to say, listen, you're on call 24/7. You're a fucking doctor now. You know, you're on call.
Right.
I don't know.
You're not a doctor. You're doing something that is nonsense. I don't mean you. I mean, comparatively speaking to saving lives, no one's asking you to drive into the airport or into the hospital so you can save someone's life. This is a problem. I may have told the story a long time ago before because this happened a long, long time ago, but I was at an early tech ed, could have been even the 1990s, late 90s, early 2000s, a long time ago. And the guy I was with, it was in Florida. I remember walking through this cavernous convention center hall where I'm talking to him and I'm suddenly aware that he's not next to me anymore. And I look behind me and he's sitting on there and he had a BlackBerry pager at the time before they made phones. So I walked back and I said, what the hell are you doing? And he says, oh, work just sent me an email. And I said, why are you answering it? And he was confused by this question.
What do you mean?
And I said, you know, you realize that when you're on the road like this, they know you're away. And if you respond immediately, that's going to be the expectation going forward.
Yeah, you've said
we're walking. we're not answering emails now. I said, if you do that again, I'm going to knock it out of your hand. I'm like, do not let yourself be interrupted like that.
Yeah.
That's just dumb. You don't have to be available 24/7.
I have a whole theory on working for people now that I've had this experience of going to work every day. And I really think that you create the expectations and the disappointments that your employer thinks of you. You create all these things. Sure. And it's very easy to control the expectation. And, you know, I find it very interesting how some people succeed. And mm-hmm. they have an equivalent ability and equivalent personality to others that fail. And I think it all has to do with the set expectation that you create and the set return that you provide on those expectations. You know, I was going to press the other day, and I'm going to be an old guy, young lady. She's like in her 20s. She's like 24, 25.
She had nice gams.
Yeah. And she comes in there. Every day, whenever I see her, like 8:30 at night, a mess, laptop out, and she's like, I need to drink. I got to get this done. And I finally ask, I'm like, let me ask you something. I go, do you just suck at your job that you don't get anything done ever? She goes, no.
Yeah.
I said, okay, then why are you working? She goes, everybody has to. You don't know my boss. You have to work all the time. Like, it doesn't stop. You get an email, you have to respond within 20 minutes. And she was, I'm like, when did you get this email? She goes, I was on the train. I tried to do it on the train. There was no service. So she ran to get this done. And I thought to myself, you know what's going to happen? One day, she's going to get hit by a car. She's going to break her leg. She's going to get fired from her job. And then there's going to be a major lawsuit for millions and millions. And she's going to say, the only reason why I did this is because my boss was so demanding, where I had to run to get this because I was in fear of my job. And that is when everything changes. That is when employers are now required not to email once you have this timeline now. That's the only way it'll happen. And I was like, oh my God, this girl's like losing her mind. Pieces of her hair is falling out while she's sitting there. She has no nails left, Paul. She chewed on them, all of them. I mean, it was terrible. Terrible. I mean, I don't know. We took a different turn there.
Frustrating.
But talking about productivity, Paul, I want to talk about a great sponsor, and that's Slack. I've been using Slack at my job. And listen, one of the reasons why I'm not one of these people that's running around like a lunatic at all hours of the night trying to respond to these emails and trying to send emails and things that I forget is because I've implemented Slack in my daily usage at work. So what it's done is that I've essentially created different groups for different departments. Like my department, I'm in marketing. So my department gets one set of emails from me, one set of messages from me. The other one is the art department. The other one is operations. So we're all in the loop and we know everything that's happening. One is reservations. One is limos. So, car services that we have to send out for people. So all these different groups are now on my computer. I can see each of them and I send the messages out accordingly. Some get everything and others don't get the stuff that they don't need. You could do file sharing. You could do images. You could do live chat. I mean, this is actually unbelievable. And it's made my job so much easy where at 6 o'clock, when I'm out the door, guess what? I'm out the door. Everybody got the message. They never have to message me and say, hey, what happened to this? Look on Slack. To find out more, go to slack.com. This is where work happens, guys, and I'm a big fan of theirs. So slack.com. Paul. Do you have a moment to talk about your opinion of the Samsung Galaxy? What did I call it before the show? The Samsung S and the Galaxy S.
Galaxy S.
The Galaxy S9 Plus. This is part three of your long-term usage series, and I'm curious, you know, how it's gone. What you actually think of it at this point?
Yeah, it's great. I think the central thing to understand, well, there's two things. I mean, first, this is the best phone there is. There's no doubt about it. But it's also, you know, Samsung is, they're interesting. They have their own kind of vibe. They do things in a certain way. They are very clearly trying to replace as much of, don't mind my cat, Android and Google's products and services as they can. And that can create some complexity, right? In the form of duplicate apps, for example, you know, two email apps, two calendar apps, you know, that kind of stuff. They replace things like the Google Assistant with Bixby, and there's that kind of weird aspect to it. But the thing that's, I think people are kind of used to that kind of thing. Like, I think, you know, Samsung sells so many phones. Like, I think that the notion of a Samsung skin on top of Android is very common. It's beautiful looking anyway. I mean, they do a great job with it. All the extra apps, it's no big deal. They give you some good organizational things in there for with folders and so forth. You can hide it if you don't want them. But the real benefit to what Samsung brings to the Android ecosystem, or at least to their own devices, are all of the additional features and services and stuff that are spread all over this phone. And you really need to spend the time to go in and out of every single screen in this thing and just you know, figure out and understand what's in there. You could spend days just investigating settings, you know, because they have so many. Android has settings, obviously, and Samsung has more settings. They have many more settings that are available on any other Android phone. They're the type of company that does things like add support for a split screen mode before it's even in Android. Now that Android has a split screen mode, they support a multi-window mode, right? Which is available in Chrome OS, but not in Android. And you can run certain apps in Windows on top of other apps or on top of the home screen or whatever. Not just picture-in-picture video type things, but just basically discrete apps. This is a lot of stuff there. And it's the type of thing where, yeah, it's a little complicated, but your attention to this stuff is, you know, pays off. There's just a lot going on there.
It is a lot going on. As you were talking about, I was looking at my actual phone, and I actually went through this weekend, and I'm like, man, I got a lot of duplicate applications here. Like, I'm talking about, like, messaging apps, right? I got Samsung's Messenger on here. I got another Messenger on here. I got Hangouts on here. It's a lot. I got two email clients, like you said. I got it's overload. You know, how many different payment services can I have? I have Google on here. I got Samsung Pay on here. I never use either one. It just because I guess it's like how many reminder applications I have. I don't know. Do you think that's confusion for most or no?
I think it's fair to kind of complain about it as confusion and complexity, like I said, but I think people are just used to this. I think it's one of those things, like, it's just, it's, you know, in theory, this is more confusing. In reality, I think, you know, they sell more phones than anybody. I mean, people expect this stuff. You can go into, you know, long click on the background and, you know, you get widgets and wallpapers and whatever else. You can go to a store that Samsung has. You can buy themes, and they have all these. This is stuff you can't do on Android. And I think, you know, normally I'm kind of fundamentally opposed to crapware of any kind. And yet I do sort of see the value. Not in everything they do, but in many of the things that they add to the system.
Yeah. I just don't like that they take a lot of the Google stuff away.
Yeah, the Google Assistant one is tough for me. Like, you can basically ignore Bixby, but when you there's no way you can swipe off of the home screen and get to the Google thing, which is what,
like,
I really
even
want.
Like the widgets, you can't, it disables the widget. Like, if I want to add, let me see here, which one was it?
Yeah, where they can, they do it. And that's the thing. That's the troubling bit. Like, there's no clear indication.
Like, if I want to add the Google widget for, like, the Google, like, feed, they call it Feed now. It used to be Google Now. It's a dead application. There's nothing. Like, this is what you see. Just a bar. It gives you nothing.
Okay.
Which is bizarre. So I couldn't
manually launch. Sorry.
I couldn't figure out how to get it to work.
You can launch the app.
You can launch the app, yes, but it doesn't pull it up on the widgets anymore.
Right.
It's which
yeah, you have to go to the app. It's the one thing. I guess you could put the. They must have a Google launcher. I haven't tried this. The thing is, like, the problem is, I really like the way it looks. Like, their font treatment is really nice.
For Samsung.
They support. Yep. They support customizable fonts, you know, for the system, which is really cool and not available on Android normally. So you kind of have to, you're going to lose stuff if you give up the launcher. Yeah. You know, you're getting rid of a lot of what makes this thing special, frankly.
It's interesting. I guess for most people, they don't care. You know, they buy and they use it and they love it. Or well, the side like that said, doesn't love it, they go to XDA forums and they start tinkering with everything.
I don't think anyone normal is doing that. But I mean, for most people, I don't think they would think anything of this. I think they would just use it and be like, yeah, nice. Look at all the stuff. You could use this for a year and discover new features every day. There's so much stuff in here. It's great. It's packed.
Or you go in the App Store and you find stuff that fits you. Like, I found this great application. I'm going to talk about it on the bonus show. Mm-hmm. Do you have like 15 minutes, 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to talk about this app called AirText.
Okay.
Where I'm able to forward my text messages from my phone straight to my laptop. Yeah. And it works on Windows and it works on Mac. And I've been using it for about a week now. And I'm blown away on how well this works over, you know, other applications like the Verizon Messenger app that was like their proprietary thing that they killed off. And it never worked, even when it did work.
Does it let you send text messages from your computer?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, because that's
yes, it does.
That would make it all
and it looks nice. It's not a bad looking app. It almost looks like iMessage. It's you got to pay to get some of the features. Like, you get up to 5,000 messages if you use a free one, but it's like $2.99 for the month, or you could pay for the year. Which is, for me, it's worth it because I hate looking down at my phone when I'm working. I'm actually one of these people that puts the phone away. I actually turn it over and I don't want to look at messages. And I want to do everything that I can. So if I'm getting an important message, I kind of want to see it here. And I type it quick and I'm done. I don't like the distraction of picking up my phone when I'm working. So for me, it's a good tool, which I want to talk about and how I discovered this. I actually can't even tell you how I discovered this. I got to look at this email that I got. I'll figure it out. Paul, anything coming up? What are you up to?
No, I don't have any work travel planned. I mean, obviously WWDC is coming up, so I'm looking forward to covering that remotely. Also E3, which I was invited to, but I'm not going to go to. It's just too much of a hassle. Computex is coming up. That's going to be big for reasons you will discover later, but some big announcements coming there, in the PC space. But no, I don't have any travel plans. Mary Jo was talking about doing a Windows Weekly in New York at the Microsoft store sometime, maybe in June. So if that happens,
do you need my services?
I mean, I could picture, probably spending a night in New York. So
have you done it without me remote at the Microsoft store or no?
I don't remember. I mean, we've done it a few times.
I can't remember if you've done it without me.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I'm trying to think.
I feel like you've been a part of it.
I think always, yeah. But you haven't done one since I started, you know, day working.
Oh, no, we haven't done this. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's probably been at least a couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do something. Let me know when. Yeah. We'll figure it out. Okay. All right, guys, that's it for this week. If you like the show, stay tuned. You can watch our bonus show. You can watch a bonus show by going to patreon.com/whatthetech. You can watch a bonus show there. We accept your tips. It helps us along the way. You can follow me on Twitter @AndrewZarin. You can follow Paul @TheRot. We'll see you next week.